This is KBNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Tuesday, February 11th. Coal miners and their families filled the gym at the Paonia branch of the Delta Montrose Technical College on Saturday. Many of them were among the 300 people laid off by Oxbow's Elk Creek Mine in Somerset last month. They were there to hear a talk by Senator Gail Schwartz and others about how the state could help them deal with their job losses. Some ideas included rural economic development grants and financial aid for miners to go back to school. But as KVNF's Emily Guerin reports, many people left the meeting feeling just as lost as before.
Cliff Brewer was a coal miner for 14 years before Oxbow laid him off. Now, he's struggling to find work in the North Fork Valley.
And I read the ad in the paper saying they were going to have the state representatives here and local representatives, and I was hoping really for a, you know, some kind of solution or at least some kind of ray of hope for us. And I didn't hear anything that was positive. Every solution I heard of today was long-term. Well, for a lot of us, where there's long-term isn't an option. We're already behind on our mortgages. You're behind on my truck payment, little things like that. There was no solution here to help us with any of the immediate things.
Sarah Carlquist is the director of Delta County Economic Development. She quoted a letter that Senator Mark Udall wrote to the U.S. Department of Commerce last week. He asked for federal aid to, quote, ensure the recent layoffs do not cripple local economies.
My response to that, I think we're a little crippled already.
School enrollment is one of the most visible impacts of the layoffs so far. Here's Karen Gibson, the superintendent of Delta County Public Schools.
Over the last 5 years, we have lost over 400 students. This year alone, we were down 107 students on October 1 from the previous year.
The state gives Delta County $6,300 per student. That means that last year alone, the district lost over $630,000 in state funding. To cope, the school district is combining the Crawford School and the North Fork Community Montessori School and laying off teachers. It's not fair to blame the county's enrollment problems entirely on the mines, but Gibson said the layoffs affect kids in other ways.
We've had some parents coming to school sad, frustrated, in tears because they don't know what their future looks like. We've had students upset, crying, trying to keep it together, but when mom and dad aren't doing well, students aren't doing well.
There's still hope that Oxbow might start mining again in a year or so. Mike Ludlow, the mine's manager, said it takes about 12 months to buy a new longwall. That's the $80 million piece of equipment that was lost when coal caught fire underground last year. Ludlow said there's still about 35 million tons of coal left to mine, about 6 years' worth. And eventually, they're going to need miners to dig it up.
We would like to think that we'd be able to call almost all of our people back. I think I'm glad to say that some of them have already found jobs and may not be available to come back.
Brian Waitman used to work on the longwall at Oxbow, but now he's applying for jobs at other mines. Still, he hopes to be back at Oxbow in the future.
Ludlow said a year delay, which is doable. I can get by for a year if, in fact, it comes back. I'm going to make an attempt to find something. If I can't, it could get pretty lean.
Towards the end of the talk, Reeves Brown of the Colorado Department of Local Affairs told miners they shouldn't depend on outsiders to help them.
The state can support and is here to support, and we'll continue to do what we can to support, but the solutions are going to come from this community. You show me a community that has heart and soul, that has people that are willing to step up, I'll show you a community that's going to thrive. And by contrast, you show me a community that doesn't have that kind of leadership, you can't throw enough money at that community to make them succeed.
Brown encouraged the miners to think positively. He told a story about his son, who was upset after losing a wrestling match to one of Paonia High School's renowned wrestlers.
I shared with him, you know, going forward, you can focus on that beating that you just took, and you can be victimized by that. Or you can focus on the next match, and you can focus on what you have or what you don't have. You can focus on the future or you can focus on the past.
Many speakers suggested the miners go back to school or learn to do something else. But for Cliff Brewer, that's not an option.
I'd rather stay mining if I could. Just, that's a good, it's a way of living to us. It's not just a job, you know, and it's something that pays me. I don't have a high school, I mean a college degree. I make 80 grand a year. You can tell me another job that you're going to give me that's going to pay me $80,000 a year. There's none. I'm going to go where the mines are at, and unfortunately that's not here anymore.
For KVNF, I'm Emily Guerin.
An expert in sustainable farming is coming to speak about Delta County's rural economy. John Eichard, a professor at the University of Missouri, will give a talk on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Memorial Hall in Hotchkiss. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Eichard will speak about the economic and environmental benefits of small-scale farming. He will also discuss industrial agriculture. Other speakers include a Colorado State horticulture professor, local farmer Scott Horner, and local author Paolo Bacigalupi. U.S. 550 over Red Mountain Pass could be open as early as tomorrow, reports the Watch newspaper. The highway closed on January 11th when a massive rock slide buried a 200-foot stretch of the road underneath rock and debris. For the past month, road crews have been installing fences and netting along the road, which is prone to rockfall. For now, the highway is open twice a day from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. and from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Over half of Colorado's residents say marijuana legalization is bad for the state's image. That's according to a new Quinnipiac University poll, but the Denver Post reports that nearly 60% of Coloradans still support legalization. That's up from 54% last summer. Survey participants were mixed about at-home marijuana growing. Nearly three-quarters said they wouldn't mind if their neighbors grew pot at home, but over 80% didn't want people to grow more than 12 plants at a time. Republicans were the only political group to oppose marijuana legalization. They were also the least likely to say they had used the drug since it became legal on January 1st. Stay tuned for the Tuesday Morning Music Mix with Ashley. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.